the light of Jesus Christ to a world darkened with sin. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an outreach ministry of the Progressive Primitive Baptists. Our purpose at the Lighthouse is to present you the truth of God's Word and its relevancy for your daily living. We want to help equip you to light your world with the truth of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is both Lord and Savior. Hello, my name is Scott Reiner, and I invite you to join us now as we study God's Word together. Welcome, and thank you for joining us today at the Lighthouse. I'm your host and radio Bible teacher, Scott Reiner. Today, our study centers on 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, where Paul focuses on three reasons for believers not to lose heart when facing hardships in advancing the gospel. With that, we invite you to join with us for today's study. This morning, I encourage you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the New Testament book of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. And there I'd like to read from the fourth chapter, verses 16 through 18. Once again, we'll be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, as we examine Paul's encouragement to these Corinthian believers not to lose heart when it comes to the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, when it comes to this passage, one of the main things that Paul emphasizes is suffering, adversity, challenges, difficulties, whatever terminology you may want to use. Now, from one perspective, we understand that suffering is a natural part of life. And we recognize that there are different types of sufferings or different occasions for sufferings. Some are related to the natural consequences of living in a fallen world. That is, sometimes we suffer because of death, because of diseases, and because of tragic accidents. We also suffer as a direct result of sin, whether it be our own sins or the sins of others. The Word of God is quite clear in that sinful actions can have devastating consequences. And then there is a suffering that is uniquely tied to living faithfully the Christian life, to live a righteous life. And specifically in context here, when it comes to being faithfully involved in the advancement of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the kind of suffering that the Apostle Paul was well acquainted with. Paul had been called directly by Jesus Christ to be a minister of the new covenant, or more specifically, to proclaim the message of the new covenant, along with the blessings that has been secured for the recipients of this covenant, which is Jesus Christ, by his redemptive work on the cross at Calvary. And the Apostle Paul took this call very seriously, which is evidenced by his life's history, which is recorded for us in the book of Acts and in varying sections of his letters. Now, as we speak of suffering in light of gospel ministry, that is, advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ, I don't want us to get the impression that we're only talking about ordained ministers or missionaries or others that may be involved in full-time Christian ministry. But rather, we are talking about the church at large. You see, even though the Apostle Paul is being very personal here, when he speaks of these sufferings that he has faced, he is doing so in the context of encouragement for these Corinthian believers, because as the church, they were to be a unique part of advancing the gospel in the church's ministry. One cannot read the scriptures without understanding that this was not done by just a handful of people, but it was done by the body of Christ as a whole. Now, to be sure, Paul was a part of that body. He was in a unique position as apostle, as were the others. This is not to discount the offices that God has ordained for the church, that is, elders and deacons. But the thrust of the scriptures is that the advancing of the gospel was something that was reserved for all of God's people. It is both the privilege and the responsibility of every Christian to share, to teach, to proclaim, to advance the gospel to those around us, to those who are part of a lost and dying world. Now, the thing that comes into play here is that when the church takes this very seriously and begins to make inroads into the kingdom of darkness, as God's grace opens up hearts to be receptive to the truth of the gospel, and people are converted, they're brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan himself is not going to stand by silent and do nothing. He is going to rise up against the church, and he is going to attack it. And one of the major ways that he does this is by persecution, by the suffering that persecution brings. And if we're not careful, the church can cave in to this type of external pressure, the physical sufferings associated with Satan's attacks, and our witness, our proclamation of the gospel, may either be silenced or it may be watered down. Now, the Apostle Paul's response to this is very simply, we are not to lose heart. And based upon this basic premise, he gives three reasons why we are not to lose heart. So with that, read with me from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. By inspiration, we have recorded these words. Therefore, we do not lose heart. And it's important to note here that Paul introduces this thought in verse 1. And now he picks it back up in verse 16. He continues by saying, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. One of the most significant responsibilities of the church is the teaching, the sharing, the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the glorious message about God's provision for our salvation. God's answer to our sins is Jesus Christ and his redemptive work on the cross at Calvary. This is a very definitive message, and it is to be proclaimed, period. However, even though the gospel, which means good news, is the best possible news that anyone could ever hope to hear, it is also at the same time the most hated and despised news. Individuals who are lost in their sins do not and cannot understand the gospel apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, because they are in a state of spiritual death and are living in open rebellion against God. And so while this message must be preached, while it must be preached in truth without any alterations, it is a message that is often rejected and a message which leads to persecution, assaults, and sufferings. And so when this happens, believers are not to lose heart. Now, I want to spend just a moment looking this idea of what it means to lose heart. One resource indicates that the phrase here comes from a very strong Greek term referring to, quote, to abandoning oneself to cowardly surrender. Now, when it comes to natural life, our life here in this world, I think most of us understand that there are occasions when surrender may be a needful and perhaps even a noble thing to do because of the extenuating circumstances, primarily protecting the lives of others. But then there is a type of surrender which is cowardly in nature, in which those that are involved refuse to fight for what they claim that they believe in. There are some people who give up before the fight even starts. There are those that do not have the stomach, the patience, the drive or determination, the courage to face what seems to be insurmountable odds, to stand for the truth. And this seems to be the mindset of the Apostle Paul here when it comes to the ministry of the gospel. There are many of us who at various times have turned coward and have not been faithful to persist when it comes to this glorious ministry, this vital ministry that Christ has given to his church. And so in essence, Paul says that he is not going to give up in a cowardly manner without a fight. And that's because his response to the gospel, to the call by which God called him to be an apostle, is more important than him and his own life. Because he understands the truth of the gospel and the implications of the gospel, even when it comes to the point of suffering affliction or adversity or even death. You see, the gospel is too important for us to abandon it, to give up on it, simply because things get difficult. Now, I'm not saying that we go out and look for trouble. I'm not saying that there aren't times when we, as the expression goes, learn to choose our battles. And in keeping in line with the teachings of Scripture, there are times when we are taught not to cast our pearls before swine. So there are moments, there are occasions when there is a wisdom in learning when to speak and perhaps when not to speak. But on the whole, when it comes to the Christian life, when it comes to this ministry of proclaiming the gospel, we have to be convinced of it. We have to be committed to it. Because of its message, because of its nature, or as Scripture refers to it, as the gospel of our salvation. So there is a great necessity laid upon Paul not to abandon it, but to proclaim it. He is not going to surrender in a cowardly manner, but rather he is going to have the right perspective, and he is going to be trusted. And he is going to trust God to strengthen him for this ministry. Now, working from this basic point of not losing heart, there are three reasons that Paul presents to encourage us not to lose heart, not to surrender. And it's interesting to note that these reasons that Paul presents are given in the form of a contrast. And one writer makes the observation that they are broken into two parts, these contrasts. One focuses upon the frailty of humanity, and the other speaks of God's empowerment. So let's look at this first reason. And this is found in verse 16. In essence, Paul teaches us that there is an assurance of inward spiritual renewal. Notice verse 16 again. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now, I want you to notice the first part, which deals with the frailty of humanity. And this is seen in the expression, even though our outward man is perishing. Now, on the flip side, there is the provision of God's power. Yet the inward man is being renewed. First of all, even though our outward man is perishing, this is a mark of human frailty. It is a mark of the curse of sin upon all of humanity. The outward man, the physical man, is in a process of decay. In one morbid sense, perhaps we could legitimately say, we are all dying. We are all moving to the point of death. Some of you that are older, you understand the aches and the pains. You understand the limitations that your age, the wear and tear of your body, now has. The body is in the process of perishing. Now, I was reading after one writer who suggests that perhaps Paul here is thinking beyond the natural process of aging, whereby the body grows weak and decays, by pointing to the quality of commitment that is involved in living for Jesus Christ. In other words, the writer seems to suggest that Paul's thinking was not so much the natural process of perishing, but how he has lived his life for the cause of Christ. In other words, Paul has given himself completely over to this work, the faithful proclamation of the gospel, the glorious message of the new covenant. And this is clearly outlined in his missionary endeavors found in the book of Acts. Paul had a very extensive ministry. He endured a great deal, and we're going to note more about this in just a moment. And so because of that kind of abandonment to the truth, that he was willing to be spent. In fact, he spoke of his life as a drink offering being poured out. He was giving his life, quite literally, for the cause of Jesus Christ. And so that kind of living had an impact upon his physical body. I'm sure you've seen this when it comes to certain people that have lived a rather rough lifestyle. Drinking, smoking, doing drugs. Many individuals that live this kind of life eventually wind up looking quite rough and looking well advanced in years. I have seen people that look like they may have been in their 60s and have been somewhat shocked to discover that they were only in their late 40s or perhaps in their 50s. Just because of the impact that that kind of life has had upon them physically. So at any rate, Paul emphasizes that from the perspective of human frailty, the body is in process of decaying or perishing. But the flip side has to do with God's provision of power. And notice that he says, yet the inward man is being renewed. We are made up of two distinct parts, the outward man, the physical, and the inward or the spiritual man. That part which has been touched by the Holy Spirit of God and has experienced the new birth or regeneration or being born again. And even though we are new creatures inwardly, there is this process of inward spiritual renewal. In physical terms, there are people that get tired and they need some type of pick-me-up. They need to be rejuvenated. Some people go to the spa. Some people go to the gym. They do certain things that either relax them or enables them to get over their tiredness by providing renewed strength, renewed vigor. And so it is with God's people. We need to be encouraged. We need to be strengthened. And God does this in a very distinct way. He does it inwardly. Now, that's not to say that sometimes he doesn't do it outwardly or physically. Obviously, there are times when that happens. But the principal emphasis here is on the spiritual renewal. And it's kind of amazing that sometimes some of the deepest, some of the most committed, some of the strongest Christians are those that are elderly. I know quite often we don't take the time to really understand that and take advantage of it. But even though their body has been broken because of age, because of the natural wear and tear of life, but inwardly they are strong, vibrant. They've got a strong witness. They are very close to the Lord. And so even though they grow weaker outwardly, they grow stronger inwardly. And so Paul says, don't lose heart for the simple reason that you are being renewed on the inside. Now, part of this may grow in our understanding of God's purpose of grace, God's willingness to use us as instruments, a willingness to follow through with that, to be used by the Lord. God shows us His words, the teachings that encourage us to put those principles, those commandments, those lessons into practical use so that we do become stronger in our knowledge, in our wisdom of God and His Word, so that we do become more mature and not immature. And that goes a long way in what we have to face, specifically in context of facing adversity or sufferings related to the advancing of the gospel. And so this is a glorious assurance that God gives to us, that yes, you might have suffering outwardly, but that inwardly, there are parts of us that cannot be touched by the powers of darkness, because we are being renewed in the inward man. Now, secondly, there is a promise of incomparable weight of glory. And this too is divided into two parts. Read verse 17 with me. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now I want you to notice the first part that deals with the frail nature of humanity. Paul writes, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, and the provision of God's power, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now notice humanity's frailty. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Paul speaks of his sufferings as something light, something that is not weighty or substantial. Now, from one perspective, I think we need to be clear and recognize that in many respects, Paul's sufferings were quite difficult, very substantial, or to use the phrase, quite heavy. In fact, in chapter 11 of this same letter, he writes, beginning with verse 22, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often, from the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily? My deep concern for all the churches. Now, as you look at this litany of expressions, Paul suffered tremendously. But here he speaks of them as momentary light afflictions. Now, what enables him to say that? It's because of the other perspective, the provision of God's power. Paul says, this is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The term working means producing or accomplishing. The afflictions that we endure, the sufferings that we face, the hardships, are directly linked to the reception of glory that God has in store for His people. Notice how Paul expresses this. It is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Notice the contrast. Light affliction, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You see, what's interesting here is that sometimes I think that whenever we think about what we do in life and what God has in store for us, that we tend to think in terms of balance. Well, if I have to do this, then I ought to get this in return. But what Paul is saying here is that it is completely out of balance. It doesn't even come close. The eternal weight of glory isn't balanced by our afflictions. It far outweighs them. It doesn't even come close. You see, a part of what is happening here is what we might simply call perspective. And perspective for the Christian life is absolutely essential. In fact, so much about the Christian life is perspective, how we see things. If we tend to focus and glory on our afflictions for the sake of afflictions, our sufferings, our hardships, then those become paramount, and we begin to gripe and to complain about the Christian life.
You have been listening to the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an evangelistic ministry of the Primitive Baptist Churches of the Southeastern United States. We encourage you to attend one of these churches whenever possible. This radio ministry and its supporters are committed to the authority, the inerrancy, and the divine inspiration of God's holy word, to the Saviorhood of Jesus Christ, as well as to His Lordship, and that salvation is by God's grace alone. We hope this program has had a positive spiritual influence in your life. If it has, please write us and let us know. We encourage you to be with us next week at this same time. To find out more information about the Lighthouse, you can visit us at our website at www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. That's all one word and in all lowercase letters. Once again, that's www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. Please take a moment and visit us at our website. This program exists because evangelistically minded people like you contribute to it. If you would like to help us bring the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world, then write us at The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. Once again, that's The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. We would love to hear from you. Until next week, this is Scott Reiner encouraging you to light your world.